Let's open our Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to share a message with you that I've been inspired to share, and I think it'll help you in your life for Jesus. It'll help you in your faith. And my job as a pastor is mainly to teach. And so if I can teach you God's Word and give you a working knowledge of the Word so that you can put these things into practice, then I have done my job. Amen? Amen? And I love good preaching. I love all of that stuff. We need it. But we also need teaching as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at one verse in this passage. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Corinth, a Gentile church, said this in verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You know, the wonderful thing about the New Testament, especially if you understand the language in which it was written, it reveals so much about how God does things. It reveals so much about how we should conduct ourselves as believers. And this is one of those verses that is one that illuminates and sheds light on a subject. Now, we're going to come back to this passage before I close today, but let me build upon this thought. Paul, writing to the church, writing to believers, born-again, spirit-filled folk, said this, we have the same spirit of faith. Well, what is that spirit of faith? We believe, therefore have we spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And so he links words with belief. But he calls it the spirit of faith. Now, if you look up the word spirit in the New Testament, normally you'll find one Greek word that's used, and it's translated spirit, which refers to the human spirit. It's also translated spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. And it's the Greek word pneuma, and it's spelled P-N-E-U-M-A, but the P is silent, pneuma. It always refers to spirit. Now, there are many times you find the word spirit, and it refers to an attitude or a mode of thinking, you know. Many times you encounter people in life who are pretty mean and they're harsh, and you might think, man, that guy's got an angry spirit. Well, it's not talking about his pneuma that's angry, but it's talking about his attitude. In this passage, the word for spirit here is not one that refers to an attitude, but it is the Greek word pneuma. And so Paul says, we have the same spirit, pneuma, of faith. And that spirit of faith believes and says. But it's interesting the way he worded it. It says, we speak because of what we believe. Let's look at this verse one more time. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And so we want to explore this thought, and we're going to talk about words. And to put a title on this message, or these messages, if you will, I just made it simple, faith talk. Faith talk. How does faith talk? Notice that he connected what we believe with what we say. I believed and therefore have I spoken? We also believe and therefore speak. Now, because we've all been born again, we all have the same life and nature of God on the inside of us, then there are certain characteristics that go along with that same pneuma or spirit, if you will. And one of those characteristics is faith. Now, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know, the great thing about the New Testament and the Old Testament is simply this. Human nature hasn't changed in thousands of years.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Amen.
If we were to pluck somebody out of the Old Testament and drop them into our midst, in our setting, Now, there would be some differences culturally. There would be some differences from a style standpoint, if you will. There would be some differences in technology. And there may even be somewhat of a language barrier. But when it's all boiled down to its lowest common denominator, we're all the same. Yes.
Amen.
They're just like us, and we're just like them.
Yes.
For so many years, I used to read the Bible, and I'd think these people in these pages were super saints. You know, until I read the Bible a little further and found out they goofed up too.
Amen.
They messed up too,
Amen.
Did dumb stuff. You know, I'm thinking, wow. They weren't as super as I thought. But they learned some things about faith, and that enabled them to either accomplish something for God or receive something that God wanted to get to them. Are you with me? Now, notice Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here. I'm going to start with verse 3. And Paul the Apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is talking about Israel, his kinsmen after the flesh. And he said this in verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith," notice this expression, "speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it?" Or, "but what does it say?" That's another way to say it. "But what does it say? The word is nigh thee," or near you, "even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, this verse gives us a little more insight and explains things in a little more detail so that we can understand what it means to believe with the heart and to say with the mouth. It is the same spirit of faith that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "We having the same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Now here Paul is saying that Israel, for the most part, missed out on the righteousness of God because they tried to establish their own righteousness. Now here's the thing I want to caution you about. When you read statements like this, let's not paint Israel or every Jew with a broad brush. There are many Messianic Jews, Jewish believers. Are you with me? A lot of people don't realize this, but for the first 20 years of church history, the church was all Jewish. Say all Jewish.
All Jewish.
And so we've got to be careful. We've got to watch that we don't develop a wrong attitude, and normally wrong attitudes are based upon wrong information. There are some people who are anti-Semitic because they have this wrong attitude or wrong concept that the Jews killed Jesus. Listen, Jesus was a Jew. Are you with me? Peter was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. They were all Jews. And so to say the Jews killed Jesus is a non-starter. Jesus went to the cross because it was the will of God that he pay the penalty so that we could have redemption.
Amen.
So we're not out to affix blame. We thank God for his
Amen.
Redemptive work.
Amen.
Are you with me?
That's right.
If Jesus had been born in Nairobi, then, you know, people would say, well, it was black folk that killed Jesus. Well, you know, that's silly. Are you with me? How ridiculous does that sound? And so don't develop a wrong attitude because of misinformation. And so here Paul writing says, you know, my brethren after the flesh missed out. He's talking about for the most part. Many of them did believe on Jesus, but as a whole, they did not. And he said they missed out on the righteousness of God because they went about to establish their own righteousness. How did they do that? By keeping the law. By doing. But he said, the righteousness which is of faith, or the righteousness which comes by faith, doesn't come by doing. But Paul said, the righteousness which comes by faith speaks. And it speaks like this. If you'll say not in your heart, who will ascend to heaven to bring Jesus down? Or who will go into the deep to bring Jesus back up from the dead? Now, what does that mean? What is Paul saying? He's simply saying this. In order for you to experience redemption, it is not necessary for Jesus to go back to the cross and die again. Are you with me? And for him to descend into the deep and for him to be resurrected again. What he's saying is the work that brought redemption is finished. But if you want to attain righteousness, all it takes is your faith. Jesus doesn't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe in your heart and acknowledge that with your mouth. And that brings righteousness. That's how faith speaks. Are you with me? And so faith is believing with the heart and confessing with the mouth. And so we want to understand this dynamic of faith, if you will, how faith talks. And it'll help you in your life for Jesus and help you accomplish many things that you perhaps may have been struggling with. All right? Now, I want you to notice something in verse 6. For the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it, or what does it say? The word is nigh thee. Now, that literally means near you. The word is near you. That is the word of faith, or the word that brings faith, which we preach. Now, you will find in the New Testament there are predominantly two words that are translated the word or the word of God. And those two words are logos, L-O-G-O-S, and logos refers to the entirety of God's word. Or you could say it like this, logos is the Bible, the word of God. This is the word of God. But there's a different word used in this verse for the word being near you. And it is the Greek word rhema. And the Greek word rhema is different than logos. Logos is the entirety of God's word or the Bible. But rhema is just one portion of the word that fits appropriately. And we'll see how this comes into play. It's one word that fits appropriately. Now, let's look a little further here. Notice verse 8. But what does it say? The word, there again, the word rhema is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word, there again, the word rhema, of faith, or that brings faith, which we preach. Another way to define rhema is the word of God spoken. The word of God spoken. Or you could define it like this, the quickened word of God. The quickened word of God. I remember many years ago that my wife and I were in a situation and it wasn't a good one. Are you with me? We hadn't done anything bad, all right? Okay. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me at that time. Now, I could have run and grabbed my Bible and tried to find a scripture that covers this situation that we're in. But I didn't have to do that. God's word was spoken to me by the Holy Spirit. And you know what he said to me? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they're safe. Now, that's a word from God. That was a word that was quickened or spoken by the Holy Spirit that fit that particular situation. Are you with me? That was a rhema from God. And so rhema is different than logos in that logos refers to the entirety of the scripture. Rhema is a word spoken or a scripture that is appropriate for any given situation or circumstance. Okay? Keep that on the shelf. Let's examine a little further. Let's go down, let's go in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to give you a clearer picture of this word, rhema. Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about faith talk. And we're going to show you how the Word of God can assist you in releasing your faith so that it is dynamic, strong, working, active, powerful. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, I'm doing a series on the radio called Dynamics of Faith. And I often try not to blend what I do on the radio with what I teach in church, simply because I want people to listen to all of it. Are you with me? I don't want people to think we're like, you know, Mickey D's. You know, oh, Big Macs again. No, I like to be thought of more like Country Buffet. We got a little bit of everything. All right? You know, when Pastor Martin was here last, I always take guest ministers out to dinner. Well, I should say it like this. You guys always take guest ministers out to dinner because I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to come again, and I want to bless them. And so Pastor Martin, he's a down-home boy. He's from Philly. And so I said, you know, Pastor Cliff, you know, what do you want to eat, man? What do you feel like? He said, man, he said, Bill, he said, you know, I could go for some down-home cooking, man. I said, I got just the place. And so I took him to Old Country Buffet. And they had some greens and okra and, you know, good old down-home food. He was so impressed, he got on the phone, called Stacy, his wife, said, man, I got me some greens and some okra. He said, got some down-home food, you know, black-eyed peas. Hey, we want to have a little variety here. So I try not to mix up my radio messages with what I teach on Sunday morning because we want to have a good variety. But there's one thing in this series that I'm teaching on dynamics of faith that we've got to understand. The Bible says in four scriptures, verbatim, exactly the same thing, word for word, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, all say verbatim exactly the same thing. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The word walk is a Greek word that means to live, peripateo, to live. So five witnesses in the New Testament say verbatim exactly the same thing. The just, those who believe in Jesus, shall live by their faith. The Bible says one time, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Once. But we know that Scripture is so important. But I learned a long time ago, we need to pay attention to something when God says it again and again and again and again. If John 3:16 uttered one time, revolutionized and changed the world and the way we think about those who are lost, how much more should we desire and endeavor to learn how to live by faith? Yes. When the Bible says the just shall live by faith five times. And then there are other witnesses that in essence say the same thing. And so that's why I'm teaching this series. Notice this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Here's the context. Jesus has fasted for 40 days. He's tired. He's hungry. He's in the wilderness. He's being tempted by the devil. Notice verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, Jesus said something that we need to understand. Man shall not live by bread alone. How many of you in the room are either a man or a woman? Every hand should have gone up. It didn't, but it should have. Amen? Every hand should have gone up. I'm not going to ask you to raise them again. You had your chance. You missed out. Man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, we all need bread, don't we? We need bread to live. We need bread to sustain life. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, he used the Greek word rhema, that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we need to understand this concept, the Word of God spoken. Jesus said, man shall not live just by bread, but by the rhema of God. And so we need to understand rhema and how it works and how it motivates us to believe and say the right thing. Are you with me? Okay, I know everybody in the room is either a man or a woman, so I'll let you slide. Okay? Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6.